The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Let's begin this message today with a quote. Some people have a way with words and other people, not have way. Quoting from Steve Martin. And I read this because it presents a question that each one of us need to address individually. Which way refers to our words? And the reason that I'm asking this is because our words will either help or hurt. They will also either help or hurt others. Now, having said this, would you please go with me to the book of Proverbs, where we are going to read a few verses about this topic. I'm going to call it wise or unwise words at this point. And so go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 14. We will begin there. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The next one I want to read is Proverbs 13, beginning in verse 2. We'll read verse 2 and 3. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And just these three verses, we're already getting a theme, aren't we? Let's go to one more place here, and that is in chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 6 and 7. 18, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Listen to this interesting bumper sticker that I saw the other day. I prefer not to think before I speak. I like to be just as surprised as everyone else is by what comes out of my mouth. And we laugh at this, and the fact is, brethren, many people have ruined their lives by not taking charge over controlling their mouth or the words that come out of them. And yet, at the same time, others have been honored for the use of their words. So what I want us all to understand, and that is this, that our speech, words that we speak, that we address with other people, casual, whether it be formal or casual conversations, our speech will bring either blessing or cursing from both God and man, and both in either this life or into eternity. So let me ask us all another question. Do we love good speech or bad speech? Now, I know the answer we're going to all come up with is, well, of course, I choose to do good speech. Well, do we? Is that a true statement that we really do desire that? It's a question. I have another, this is the last one, another interesting quip, little saying. Have you ever listened to someone for a while and wondered, who ties your shoelaces for you? I mean, right? You see what I'm saying? Now, please go with me to the book of James. James chapter 3 and verse 5. James 3 and verse 5. James 3 verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. Now having read that one, go back with me again to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, brethren, please understand, our future will be greatly affected by our choice and our use of the words we speak. Let's see some words of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I have entitled this message, Every Idle Word. Because, brethren, I want us to please realize and concentrate on and think of this and come to an understanding of that our tongue, our words, can either kill or save others' lives. Let me give you a few examples. I mean, I know you can come up with your own, but these are a few that I came up with. For example, a false witness can cause the death of an innocent man. On the other hand, a comforter, an encourager, can restore a discouraged man, woman, or child by their uplifting words. Or a slanderer can destroy the reputation of a good man. On the other hand, a wise person can guide a young person through the potential dangers and uncertainties of youth. Or a seducing woman can ruin a man's life. Then on the other hand, a godly woman, godly mother, can teach her children God's truth. In other words, what I'm saying here is a tongue can either kill or save others' lives. I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to notice something that Isaiah the prophet tells us. He places words equal with actions for displaying a sinful heart. Now, what I'm meaning by that is what our tongue produces has eternal implications. Because it reveals what is within us, within our thoughts, within our emotions, and often this is inaccurately translated as the heart, because we know it's not the heart. We know it's not this muscle that is in our body that beats. We know it's not what it is. It's a word that is used. But we have it. It's in the scriptures. But that's what it's talking about. So let's go to Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now that's an awesome thing to think about. It is a really heart-rending thing, you know, if you think about that we can do things that God will separate himself from us. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers implied, are defiled with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. I want us to understand, and I know we know this, but I want to get this in here, because this is a topic we're not going to cover every jot and tittle, every point about this particular topic, but we're going to cover many aspects. But one thing I want us to understand, and that is of and by ourselves, we are absolutely unable to tame this human tongue that we have in our mouths. None of us can do this on our own. It is, as it says, reckless, evil, full of deadly poison. Let's see that. It's in James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, verse 8, James 3, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, or it is a reckless evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, the tongue that is under control is an indication of a person having God's Holy Spirit within them. And he's using the Holy Spirit to control. He or she is using that power of the Holy Spirit to control the tongue. And that's what we all want. That's what we want. Because apart from controlling our tongue, our words, we will be judged according to our words. That's what the scripture tells us. What we say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Matthew 12, 37. So go back there with me. Matthew 12, 37. For by your word shall you be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. The justified here is meaning. I'm not saying it's the meaning of the word, but the sense of it is justified. You're going to be doing right, or you're going to be doing bad. It's an either or, one way or the other. Because of the words that we speak, we're going to be judged. So if you go back to that attitude that we saw back in Proverbs 18 in verse 21, then we can see and we can understand that our tongue can cause life or death. Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to read it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So brethren, speech definitely affects others. However, this is not really the lesson that is here in this proverb. Because what we see is the tongue, our words, also affect us as speakers, us on an individual basis. And that's what this verse is really telling. Of course, our words can hurt other people. We've already seen that. We've seen some examples. We've seen verses that tell us that. This one is telling us that it affects us. In other words, this life and death and the power of the tongue are also the things that affect of is the effect of our speech on us individually speaking, individuals. So what I'm saying is we learn that our words also affect us, whether it be good or whether it be bad. This is teaching us this particular proverb that we're looking at here, this particular proverb. And the principles here, it is teaching us that those loving their use of the tongue will eat either the fruit of death or they will eat the fruit of life. And for us, it's a choice. We have God's Holy Spirit. So it's a choice. This is what we just read in Proverbs 18:21. This is what we're seeing. We also see this because of the context here of Proverbs 18. Because the previous verse, verse 20, says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now consider this love of speech. This is a major key in this particular proverb. What do we love? Do we love good speech or bad speech? That's why I asked the question from the beginning. Which one is it? When you consider the fact that even evil men who are using, they choose the wrong words, what I'm in this context, an evil man is someone who chooses bad speech, and a good man is one who chooses good speech. So even evil men can say good things when it is for their, I would say, for their own selfish purposes to do so. And even good men speak from time to time and slip, and they say things that they should not. Proverbs 23. Verse 6, eat you not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire you his dainty meats. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. In other words, what's really on the inside? This is not really not looking out for you and your well-being here. The morsel which you have eaten shall you vomit up and lose your sweet words. If you follow after that way, it's going to turn out bad. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1, I'm going to read this from the New International Version. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. our words have an effect on others and upon us. And yet we also understand that only good men truly love good speech, and only evil men truly love evil speech. They can say things, if you're evil, say things, but their heart isn't there. We read verses already to show this. The real point of this proverb is based upon what kind of speech we love. In other words, the kind of speech that we commit to our mind and our heart and the habits we have toward our words. Do we guard our tongue with all diligence? Do we? It's not a question of should we, it's the question of do we. We know we should. The question is, do we? All too often, when we see a person who is failing in life, I know this is not 100% of the time, and it's not a full 100% statement that I'm making here, true statement, but it is more than likely that he did not rule his tongue. That's what I'm getting to. Because what I'm saying is we can notice failure in his marriage or marriages. We can see failure in his children and failure in his businesses. Let me give you some of the characteristics that we see of a person who has ruined his life because of his speech, what he says. Criticism and harshness cost him affection. Exaggerations and extreme words cost him trust. Complaining and griping and moaning cost him influence. Arrogance and disrespect of authority cost him promotions. Too many words cost him listeners. Backbiting and talebearing cost him respect. Foolishness and rudeness cost him honor. Unkept promises make him a liar. He is ruined. He commits suicide by his tongue. He did it himself. In other words, he ate the fruit of death. That goes right back to that proverb. And as we can see, he used the power of his tongue to his own destruction. So the point is, he would not rule his spirit or teach his tongue wisdom. We see where that is something that we would want to do. It's back again in Proverbs. This time it's in Proverbs 16 and verse 23. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise, again, the heart is not talking about the thing in our chest, it's talking about what is really within us, who and what we are from within. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25, 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. There's nothing to protect it. Therefore, both God and man rebuked him for his verbal foolishness and stupidity. Because we don't have to be that way. We don't have to be that way. Therefore, God became his enemy, and man avoided him, cutting him out of their friendships and out of the profitable activities that he could have been involved in had he not been using this wrong type of words. Simply putting it, he used the power of his tongue to his own destruction and death. Then on the other hand, there are other people who, as the saying goes, rise like cream to the top. Because they ruled their speech. So let's notice some of their characteristics, some of their qualities. One is they limit words. Proverbs 10:19. "And the multitude of words there wants not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 17:27. "He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lip is esteemed a man of understanding." Another characteristic of those people who are using right kind of speech, right kind of words, they use gentle words rather than grievous words or hostile words. Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Another point of their characteristics, they speak only words of truth. Now, I understand we all want to speak only words of truth all 100% of the time. So there are times whenever we misspeak or whatever, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the heart of the attitude as a person is. This is what he is desiring to do all the time. Proverbs 22:17-21, but I'm only going to read verse 21. Proverbs 22:21. "That I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might hear, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto you." In other words, the intent is to only speak words of truth. The next point is they do not talk against a person who is not present. In other words, they don't talk behind a person's back. Proverbs 16:28. "A forward man sows strife, and a whisper separates chief friends." Any of you ever had this affected you in your life? Duh. Yeah. Proverbs 26:20. "Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals, the wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." In other words, his words keeps it going. Verse 22, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the inner parts of the belly." In other words, they hurt. They really go in. There's this old saying, you know, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's the stupidest statement I've ever heard. Of course it does. This is what the proverb tells us. It does hurt. It goes down. It's a wound. It goes deep down inside. It hurts. The next point is characteristic of these kinds of people is they study and think before speaking. Proverbs 15:28. "The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." The righteous person isn't going to do that. They're going to study. They're going to be careful about it. They're going to make sure that they get to the best of their knowledge, to the best of their research, to the best of who and what they are. They're going to give a true and right answer. Where on the other hand, the other person doesn't care that much about that. Another characteristic, they are always thankful. They seldom speak up unless asked. Proverbs 18:13. "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." I remember several years ago when we were in Pasadena, an evangelist was asked a question. It was a biblical question, and he said, "Not knowing, I hesitate to say." But, and then he goes and gives the answer. And I thought, don't you understand this proverb? And the answer is no, apparently he didn't. And it just shocked me, you know, that he did that. But Proverbs 29:11. "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards." And then that same verse is repeated in James 1:19. Same thing. Another characteristic, their polite, kind speech wins the heart of men and women, and they soon will be friends of kings, or people in authority. Proverbs 16 and verse 13. 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Proverbs 22, verse 11, he that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. And another characteristic is they are a tree of life to others and to themselves. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. You can see I've been studying Proverbs again. Proverbs 10 verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. 13 verse 3, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. There it goes, comes back again. That's somebody who's eating the fruit of death, his own destruction. And then one more under this particular point, and that is in Proverbs 15 and verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. This goes right along with this wound that happens when people say things and it goes down deep into the belly. This is the breach in the spirit. Now, what about a woman? Well, all of those same characteristics should apply to a woman as well, but we have some particular points at dealing with women that are in the scriptures and their words. A woman that rules her tongue, we're going to see from scripture, will have many friends and have a wonderful reputation. And some of her characteristics would be, she has the law of kindness in her mouth, and she speaks when she has something wise and important to say. Proverbs 31, verse 26. 31, 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is not the type of person who is going to speak simply to hear herself talk or to make sure that she contributes more than others in a group. Same characteristics should apply to a man as well. She has a meek and quiet spirit, one that hates talking without worthy purpose. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Now, some may not get this. This is the point without having stated this in this context. Verse 3, 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, the wearing of gold, or of the putting on of apparel. Now, please understand, none of those things of and by itself are wrong. Nowhere in this verse does it say that anything wrong. It's the intent, it's the purpose of it. But he goes on and says, but let it be the hidden man, what's inside the person, of the heart. In other words, what is inside, what the person is really like, a person who has godly nature within them. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's what God values. Yeah, it's not a problem with how the woman puts her hair up or doesn't put her hair up or wears gold or doesn't wear it. It's not that. It's what really comes out from, that's what this is saying. Now to the young man and to the young woman. Learn wise speech before it becomes too late. And here are some points for the young person to consider. Keep company only with gracious and wise men / women who rule their mouths. Only surround yourself with people. If they're not that way, stay away from them. Another one is reject every person, every man who has a foolish and loud mouth. they're only going to wind up taking you down a wrong way. And the other one is, learn Solomon's wisdom about teaching your lips. We see that in Proverbs 4 and verse 24. Put away from you a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. And if people have it, stay away from them. And to this young person, man and woman, male and female, you can greatly enhance your future by learning good speech for all occasions. Now, what about the older man and woman? Well, I'm only one of those, but we have already been eating the fruit of our mouth, either death or life. The only hope that we have is that we confess our sins of speech to God and man, and we speak only gracious and wise words when asked. And we plead with God, we beg God for the wisdom and strength to rule our unruly tongue. If we've made mistakes and done it wrong, we ask God to forgive us and to cleanse up our tongue. And we need to learn and take the advice of the Apostle Paul to be sober and grave, cutting out foolish talking. Titus 2 and verse 1. But speak you the things which become sound doctrine. That's what our speech is to be focused on, the mainstay. And obviously, for all groups, we need to trust God for mercy. Because we've all made mistakes in this. So, brother, our words are going to bring either life or death in this world and the next. That's what we're seeing. And we can affect others by the way we speak, either in this life, and have an effect on them also in the next life. Now, with this, what we have seen, I want us to go back and notice Jesus' words again back there in Matthew chapter 12. We went there a couple of times, but I want to go back to beginning in verse 35. Matthew 12 and verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. In other words, a good person out of the good things of his heart. This is who he is on the inside. This is also what I call a person who has godly nature. Some people call it character. I use the word nature because I think it's more accurate. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And that's what I've been saying. This is what I've been saying all the time. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Because by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It's an either or. It's an either or. And we've already seen limit, but we saw that it's only those who really have the Holy Spirit of God can control the tongue. And that's us. We're the ones who can do this. And we saw several places. Stay away from those people who don't speak these words. And we've also saw in several verses, that's pretty much everybody who really doesn't have God's Holy Spirit. So the words we speak are important, as life and death are in our tongue. And as we see through these different characteristics that we see through the different age groups, it is up to each one of us to choose the words that we use. Every idle word. Therefore choose and eat the fruit of the words of life. That's the right choice. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, you are all blessed. We are all blessed. We have God's Holy Spirit. It's either in us or it's at least with us because we're here. And we have this choice. This would be the blessing that I would ask for every one of us today, that we choose the fruit of life by our words. God bless each one of you, and happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.